Well, if you're watching this, I guess I'm speaking to you from the other side. The other side of a camera, of course. We've gone into lockdown. Regional New South Wales has joined the rest of New South Wales. And so a shout out to our team that had most of this service prepared beforehand. We knew there was the potential of going into lockdown, so they started working on an online church service just in case we went into lockdown at the last minute, and we did. It was only a few hours ago this was called, and here we are, ready with an online church service. So thank you to the team. We don't know how long we'll be in lockdown, and so stay tuned for more communication through our weekly email, through Facebook, about how we'll continue to stay connected even though we need to socially distance through another lockdown. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get stuck into our 1 Timothy series. We're going to continue in it. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that nothing takes you by surprise. You are in heaven, seated there, doing all that you please. And so we pray now that as we hear your word about liars and deceivers and the devil trying to lead your people away, that you'll guard us, protect us, and fill us with great confidence that your truth is right and we never need to worry. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we tend to play a bit loose and fast with the God card. Have you ever been tempted to say, I sense God is telling us to, and you fill in the blank. I think God wants us to, and you fill in the blank. It's tempting. I know I was a few years back. Due to a quirk in zoning issues, there was a developer ready to give the Point Church 5 acres of land for free. Talk about a temptation to say, I think God tells us to take the land. And then when you realize that the block was at the end of the Point Drive, how tempting to say, God is telling us to build a mission campus at the end of the Point Drive. But as it turns out, a couple of koalas that would wander into that paddock a couple of nights every 3 years had more of a say with the Port Macquarie Hastings Council than the God card did. But have a think about this for a moment. Why do we like to say, I sense God wants us to? Why not just say, I want to? Right now, here's one good reason. It's our way of recognizing God's sovereignty. In the old days, God's people used to say, we are going to build a mission campus, God willing. Today, we say it a little softer. I sense God wants us to build a mission campus. But let's be honest. We often pull out the God card because we want to give more oomph to our view. I think God wants us to build a mission campus. But as Larry Osborne wrote in his book, Sticky Teams, how do we know that's God speaking to our conscience and not last night's pizza? A bit more seriously, pulling out the God card is dangerous. And today's passage tells us why. You see, there's not just last night's pizza to worry about. There are deceivers, liars, and demons. Last week, we heard that Jesus' church is a pillar and buttress of truth. The way to tear down truth is through lies. Lies were a problem in the very first churches, and lies are a problem for the church today. Now, to fully understand the danger, we need to see the world as it truly is. We need a reality check. We need a spiritual reality check to see the danger. And to protect ourselves from these dangers, we need to think inside out, not outside in. And so that's where we're headed in the sermon today. A spiritual reality check firstly, and then inside out. And so firstly, to the spiritual reality check. Have you got your Bible open? 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Now the Spirit in verse 1 is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit expressly says, that is, the Holy Spirit clearly says, what we are about to read is certain, it is clear, and what is clear, according to the Holy Spirit, is that in latter times some will depart from the faith. Now, remember the original setting of this letter. According to the verse that we looked at last week, 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul was telling Timothy how God's people are to behave in the household of God. 1 Timothy was written as instruction for the day, for our day as well, not for preparation for some future time. The latter times are now. You see, now that Jesus has come, we are living in the latter time. There is BC, before Jesus Christ, before Jesus came, and there's AD, after Jesus. And hear the gravity of Paul's words. Listen up. God clearly says that there will be some who depart from the faith. Now, that is sad on its own. People who look like they've come to Jesus and then just walk away. But notice who is particularly in view. It is those who devote themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. If that sounds weird or a bit over the top, then you don't see the world as it really is. This will be a reality check for you, a spiritual reality check. You see, it's a mistake to believe that reality is only what we can see and touch. For instance, God is real, even though we cannot see or touch him. Furthermore, Jesus really is somewhere right now. There are angels worshiping God, and there are demons hating God. But have no doubt, be reassured, at the cross, Jesus won the battle against Satan, sin, and death. But Satan has weapons, lies and deception. Lies and deception designed to lead people away from Jesus, designed to lead us away from, remember what we looked at last week? Truth. Last week's sermon, in a nutshell, the household of God has a great confession. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ rescues godless people and makes them godly people. Jesus alone saves. The local church is the pillar and buttress of God's truth of salvation. And let me be really clear. This truth is the only truth that can keep people out of hell. What we are considering today is deadly serious. It's eternally serious. And Satan will do everything he can to deceive people, including infiltrating churches through liars whose consciences are seared. In the Old Testament, God warned his people about those outside, the nations outside that would worship false gods, false idols. In the New Testament, God warns his people about false teachers that will creep into his church, into his household with lies and deception. Remember how this passage began. The Holy Spirit expressly says, we would be fools to ignore the spiritual reality. Make no mistake, the devil is prowling. He is always prowling. Brothers and sisters, don't trust everything you hear or read simply because it comes from a church. From the beginning, there have been false teachers within the church. The Holy Spirit expressly says so. Now, if you base your theology on zombie apocalypse or Freddy Krueger movies, then these verses are scary. But chapter 4 is not scary. It's spiritual reality, and spiritual reality is not scary. God is God, and the devil is defeated. Christians don't fear lies because we have truth. And so we're forewarned and therefore forearmed. Now I want you to read from verse 3 with me, and here's where we move from spiritual reality into inside out. Verse 3, liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Now Hebrews 13 verse 4 tells us that marriage is a gift from God and is to be honored by all. Marriage denial, denying marriage, is an assault on a gift from God that is good and central to human society. And as for abstaining from certain foods, well, Jesus addressed this. Now, come back with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and I'm going to read from verse 14. Mark 7, verse 14, and Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus Jesus declared all foods clean." And Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Food is a gift from God. Yes, there are food laws in the Old Testament, but they have been completely removed by Jesus. Clearly, Mark 7, those Old Testament laws are removed. Jesus is crystal clear. Do not make religious food rules. Jesus is blunt. I mean, what comes out of our bowels might stink, but that doesn't matter. What really matters is what comes out of our character, what comes out of our heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't operate outside in, operate inside out. Abstaining from marriage, abstaining from certain foods, cannot and will not make us more godly. Listen, true religion is not what we do for God. True religion is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Come back with me to 1 Timothy, this time chapter 1. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. "I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Now you might remember that that passage falls fast on the heels of a section where Paul was rebuking false teachers who used God's law unlawfully. You see, God's law is a mirror. It is not a dishwasher. We look into God's law and we see our unlawfulness. But we cannot jump into God's law. We cannot do God's law and remove our sinfulness. Jesus and Jesus alone washes away our sin. Jesus is the only one who can reach in and give us a new heart. The big message of the gospel is we cannot fix ourselves. We cannot keep God's law. We will never be able to clean ourselves up. Look at verse 14 with me and see if you can see the picture. The grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Can you picture that? First of all, there's the grace of God, that within God there is grace and mercy and steadfast love that overflows. And when God saved you, that grace overflowed into your heart. God's grace forgives your sin, changes your heart. That change takes place by faith in Jesus Christ, not by keeping God's law. So marriage and food, they're to be received from God with thanksgiving. Abstaining from marriage, abstaining from certain foods will not and cannot save you, nor make you more godly, and anyone who tells you otherwise is a liar sent from the devil. True religion, or what we heard last week, the mystery of godliness is not outside in, it's inside out. By faith in Jesus Christ, our hearts and minds receive the overflowing grace of God, a grace that changes us supernaturally from the inside out. Now, as far as I know, we don't have anyone running around our church telling us, God says, abstain from marriage and abstain from certain foods. There are some churches that do. Stay away from them. What is clear from this passage is they're not Christian. But for the most part, your and my temptation is not lies about marriage or food. But there are lies every church, every Christian is tempted by. The lies of legalism, adding to the gospel, either to earn God's favor or to impress those around us. Look at me, I'm more holy than you. 30 years ago, I was a youth leader, and part of the expectation is that I would set a godly example for the youth. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? There were a bunch of rules that came along with this expectation. One was that we were not allowed to go to the beach on Sunday. Sunday was considered the Sabbath, and we were only to attend church and rest according to the rules of this church. But you know that the pastor of the church, well, he had to work on Sunday, and so he took his Sabbath on Monday. And he often invited a few of us to go bushwalking with him on his Sabbath. Looking back, I can see the inconsistency, what some might call the hypocrisy of it. But you know, we're all susceptible to such hypocrisy because our desire is to be the pillar and buttress of God's truth. We want to behave rightly in the household of God. And when that desire spills over into adding to God's rules, we play right into the devil's hands. We add rules like, don't get married, don't eat certain foods, don't go to the beach, boys should have certain length hair, don't drink alcohol. Now, as I say all of that, hopefully your conscience is pricked. I mean, this is not easy, is it? Last week, we heard that our behavior matters because we are the household of God. This week, we're hearing about the danger of adding to household rules. Now, this is a problem every church has through every age. It's the problem of legalism. It's the problem of living within the freedom of the gospel, which is grace and grace alone, and then living as God's children within God's household and behaving appropriately. I read somewhere, I can't remember where, so I'll just claim it as my own. A church knows it is preaching the gospel correctly if it has religious legalists on one side grumbling and religious liberals on the other hand grumbling. Legalists want to add to the gospel. They want to clamp down on our behavior. And liberals want to say, well, our behavior doesn't matter. They both have a problem, and the problem they both have is they don't get the gospel. I want to leave us with an image I heard from John Piper many years ago. We are made to worship God. And when we turn worship into offering God our religiosity, then it's no longer worship. That would be like approaching a magnificent waterfall, the largest in the world, the grandest in the world, and grabbing a bucket of water down from the bottom and carrying it up to the top and pouring it in as if our effort, as if that sort of worship would be adding anything to the grand waterfall. True worship of the waterfall would be enjoying the waterfall, praising the waterfall, drinking from it, being refreshed by its cool waters, filling up your bucket, not to go and add it back into the waterfall, but taking it to go and refresh others. Brothers and sisters, God clearly says that in the latter times, people will fall away from the faith. There will be deceivers and liars with seared consciences seeking to lure you away. Often they'll sound godly, but in reality, they want to drag you away from God. You don't need to worry, though. This is not a zombie apocalypse. All you need to do is stick with God's truth. Look at verse 5, the last verse of our passage, 1 Timothy 4, verse 5. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. Don't add to God's word. Don't take from God's word. Walk in God's truth. Receive from your good Father his gifts with thanksgiving. Thank him. Obey him, worship him, and you will defeat the devil because your king already has. Soak yourself in the truth of the glorious gospel. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that we're not in some undetermined battle of good and evil. You have won. Your gospel is victorious. You reach in and you save us. Oh, help us never be deceived by thinking that we can earn you or we can keep you. Father, protect us. Protect our church family. Protect each individual from lies and deception. And would we love to drink from your glorious truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.